We're glad you're here today, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity always to be able to preach the gospel. Great blessing, wonderful privilege, I consider it to be, to tell anybody about Jesus who loves them and tell about that wonderful account of Christ and His love for us. So I'm glad you're here, and we are, as the church, delighted you've come our way. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we hope you will be. You will consider carefully what we study together today. And I hope you have your Bibles with you, that you look at them and make sure. Don't take what I say just because I say it. I don't plan to tell you something that is wrong, but you know, I could make a mistake. And there are people who would teach things that aren't what they ought to be. Don't ever trust a man with your soul. You make sure you go to the Word of God and see for yourself. When I was seeking the truth, having grown up in error, I went to the Word of God. I began to read it for myself. You know what I found? I found some things I had been taught were not true. I had been taught that salvation by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. I was reading James 2 one day, and it showed me that's not true. You see then how that by works, that is works of obedience, a man is justified and not by faith only. I nearly fell off the seat. All my life I'd heard you're saved by faith only. And now I began to read the Scripture, and one of the first things I found was you're not saved by faith only. So open your Bibles, bring them with you every time. We hope to see you every service between now and Friday. Meeting at 6 every night. Okay. I'm looking forward to being with you. And we're going to study God's Word. We're going to look to it for the proof. Sometimes you hear people who denigrate proof texting. Well, I believe in it. I believe you need to have a Bible passage for what you say. We studied this morning about the way that is wrong and cannot be right. Proverbs 13:15. The way of the transgressor is hard. It is a dry, rocky, barren path. And at this hour, we're going to study about the way that is right and cannot be wrong. Look at John 14:6. Jesus said, I am one of many ways. I saw some eyebrows lift when I said that. You know, we live in a land that is embracing multiculturalism. That is okay if you're talking about food. I like all kinds of food. But when you talk about religion, that is not okay. We have talk show hosts telling us there might be another way other than Christ. We have politicians who would move us all into a position that we would tolerate anyway and accept it. Even in our educational system. We're moving away from the idea there is one God, one Savior. And that is passé. Intellectuals don't believe that. So we'd better embrace this idea of there being many ways. What does that passage say? These preachers up here know what it says. Jesus said, I am what? The way. The only way. The right way, the good way, the way that is good and cannot be wrong. That's the way of Jesus Christ, and that is the way that we are to travel if we would have heaven as our home after a while. Sadly, most people aren't traveling that way. Would to God that everyone was. We would rejoice in having fellowship with everybody who is following in that same way. If you're walking in that way together, then you're doing the same things, believing the same things. One of the blessings of being a gospel preacher and having the opportunity to travel even on other parts of the world is, doesn't matter where I go. I was in Hong Kong when I first found this to be something that just struck me. Doesn't matter where I go. When you find brethren worshiping God, they're doing the same things we do right here today. Same way we do them. And you know why that is? Because they're following the same plan. They're walking in the same way. Jesus said, I am the way. We talked about Matthew 7:13 and 14. Two roads we could travel, only two. Each accountable person is traveling one or the other, the broad way that leads to death, the narrow way that leads to life. There are but two roads. Man cannot find that way by himself, Jeremiah 10:23. Man sees a way that looks good, but the end thereof is a way of death, Proverbs 14:12. So we need to see the way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the only way. Now notice what he said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The fastest growing religion in the world, Islam, will tell us we serve the same God. But they try to get there a different way. They look upon Jesus as just a prophet, a teacher, a good man. They see Muhammad above him, the greater prophet. They reject him as the Savior. And yet Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. You can pick any man, any name, any practice, any doctrine. It doesn't make any difference. There's no salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's only through the name of Jesus Christ that we have salvation today. Let's look at that. The way that is right and cannot be wrong. You see, Jesus is the way to the Father, John 14:6. 2 John 9 tells us, whosoever transgresseth, that means to go beyond the boundary that God has set, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Notice that. Not just any doctrine. Not some man-made doctrine. Not some idea that some man, however wise and scholarly he might have been, or even a group of men who've gotten together and devised, Matthew 15:9, not just any doctrine, but the doctrine of Christ. Whosoever goes beyond that and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, what does he not have? He does not have God. You cannot get to God any other way than through Jesus Christ. God the Father loved us so much, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, only begotten Son. There's no other. No salvation in any other. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, actually the He's italicized. If you believe not that I am, well, there's another way. That's not what He's saying. You pick the way you like. I hear people say, and they tell me this when I talk to them, well, you know, you've got to find religion that suits you. And one man may like it this way, another man that way. You've got to find what you like. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, there's not any other way. You shall die in your sins. There are but two ways to die. Revelation 14:13, you can die in the Lord as an accountable person. John 8:24, you can die in your sins. There are but two ways. There's no in between. I was in South Carolina, knocked on a lady's door, invited her to the meeting. Talked to her about her soul. She informed me that she had a different Savior. She told me his name. I wish I could remember that. I can't remember his name. Some man. She said it was buried about 20 miles up the road. She told me he was buried in his Cadillac. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe. And I was dumbfounded. She actually believed that. She had a different Savior. There's no other way. There's no other one than Jesus Christ. You either die in the Lord and that relationship with Him, or you die in your sins. Those are the only two ways. John 12:48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word can find another way. That's not what he said. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We're going to have a judgment day. It's coming. Hebrews 9:27. Going to be there. Before that great judge, Matthew 25:31-46, will be gathered all nations. Everybody, 2 Corinthians 5:10, is going to be there. The whole world will be there, Acts 17:30-31. We're going to be judged on that day. What's going to be the standard by which we are judged? I mentioned being an electrician while I was teaching Bible class, and we had a book, the National Electrical Code. And I had to know that book. And I had tests on that book. And I knew that I had to know that book because that was a standard from which the test would come. We have before us the standard, the only authoritative standard given by the sovereign God of the universe, by which we must live and by which we shall be judged one day. We're not going to be judged by the discipline by which I used to live. Or the catechism, or the book of prayer, or the book of Islam, the Quran. Not going to be judged by the sayings of Buddha or Confucius or any other man-made book. I have in my library dozens of books written by men purporting to be ways by which man must live. There's but one way. There's but one book. And that is this book right here. Isaiah 59:1-2 tell us that sin separates us from God. Actually, God hasn't moved, has He? We've moved away from God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, Paul, by inspiration, tells us how we can be brought back together with God. We can be reconciled. That's the biblical word. Now, God is not reconciled to us. We are reconciled to God. And how are we reconciled to God? It's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Man separated from God by sin, there's no other one, there's no other way that can bring him back to the Father except Jesus Christ. Now, we congratulate ourselves today for being enlightened. This is the 21st century. And we move beyond the old ways of thinking, the old religious ideas. And we've embraced this idea of compromise and tolerance and multiculturalism. And now we can say with confidence, oh yes, you can go that way and it will be okay. Oh no, friend. God has not changed His plan. He's not winked at us and said, I'll accept that. There's still but one way to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Look at Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. All have sinned. That includes Jew and Gentile. All have sinned. That includes you and me if we're accountable. All have sinned. Now look at Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. You see, the biggest problem we have today is not the economy, it's not disease, it's not some political intrigue. The biggest problem we have today is the problem man always has faced. That is the problem of sin. And so the greatest need that we have is forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 tells us we can have that. We can have redemption, be bought back. We can have forgiveness. We can have that in Christ. In Christ alone. He is the way to forgiveness. What a great blessing for those who know forgiveness to know that those sins of the past are as if they had not been committed. But it comes to God's looking upon them and remembering them. There's no guilt of those past sins when we have been forgiven. And Jesus is the way to forgiveness. The greatest need that we'll have is forgiveness, because the greatest possession we have is that soul that God's given to us. Matthew 16:26. Worth more than all the world. And there's nothing that we can do except through Jesus Christ to obtain that forgiveness. 1 John 3:4 tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. If we have sinned, God is the one who must forgive us, that we might have heaven after a while. And God is the one who specifies. Brother Marshall Keeble, great preacher of the past, used to say, if God told me to jump through that wall, I would jump. And I would trust God to make the hole in the wall. Sometimes people look at what God has required of them. They say, I don't know why I have to do that. I don't think I have to be baptized to be saved. I just don't believe that's something that, you know, I have to do. When God says do it, all we have to do is do it. And trust God to keep His word for our obedience. So Jesus is the way to forgiveness. There's no other way. Ephesians 1:7, then through Jesus Christ. Luke 24:46 and 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. His name, the name of Jesus Christ. So He came to offer that one sacrifice for sins forever, Hebrews 10:12. By Him, by His blood, we can have forgiveness. He's the way to forgiveness. And so Jesus is the way to the Father. There's no other way. No other man. No other one. And no man can come to the Father but through Him. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Jesus is the way to the family of God. I was talking with, forgotten your name, the good sister who came this morning and prepared the Lord's Supper. And I was talking with her and asking about her family. She doesn't have any family in this area, but we talked about the family of God. And what a great blessing that is, that we can have the family of God. We're members of God's family. Look at 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul wrote, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The word house there is a word that means dwelling place, literally, but it's used metaphorically to include those who dwell therein. The household or the family. And so we can be in that family as brothers and sisters. Have God as our Father. You know, God doesn't have any illegitimate children. Doesn't have any illegitimate children. All His children are in His family. You read Ephesians 4. There is one body. Colossians 1:18, that body is the church. 1 Timothy 3:15, that church is the family. How many families are there then? There's but one family. And Jesus is the way to get into that family. Acts 2:47, when one is saved, what does Jesus do? He says, you find the church of your choice. Oh, no. That's not what we hear from the Savior. He adds those who are saved to His church. Not to any man-made religious organization. He adds the saved. How many of them does He add to the church? All of them. How many of them who are not saved does He add? None. How many of them who are saved does He not add? None. He adds all of them to His church. What is it that He looks to? What requirement is there before He adds one to His church? That he be saved. How can we be saved? Only in Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12. Jesus is the way of the family of God. I can understand why some people today are so confused about religion. I've been there. I heard where I was certain things taught. I visited another denomination. My dad was in one, my mom in another. I visited another denomination. I heard different things from them. We're a different name. They had a different way of worship. I knew of other religious organizations, and they all had different names and different plans and different ways. I can understand the confusion that people have today. I can understand why there are some people today that look at all these differences and they just throw up their hands and say, I'm just giving up. But God is not the author of confusion. There's the principle. God is not the author of that religious confusion either, 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the one who came with the doctrines of men, Matthew 15:9. God has a way. That's the way. The way that is right. The way that is good. The way that is holy. The way that leads to all that is right and good. Men may search for their lifetimes. They may try other ways. And I've known many who have. But they'll never find the right way until they come to Jesus Christ. Until they come to the Father through Him. Till they find forgiveness in Him, until they're in that family with Him. But here's something else we need to know, and that is that Jesus is the way to the future. You see, when we have forgiveness, that takes care of the past. Those things are forgiven. When we're in the family of God, that takes care of the present. We're in fellowship with God's people. But what about the future? Jesus is the way to the future. It's been said often, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Death may come. It's coming one day, Hebrews 9:27, after that the judgment. We don't know when that will be. I plan on being here this week, going home. I've got plans for next week. May not be there. We don't know when Christ is coming. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, Matthew 24:36. I was preaching in Lubbock, Texas, back a couple of years ago, on the very day that this fellow had said the world was coming to an end, October 20-something. Being all over the news, the world's coming to an end, this fellow said, on this day. You know what I was preaching on by their request on that day? I was talking about date setters who prophesied about the end of the world. That day came and went. He didn't know. We don't either. Oh, it's going to be a long wait. We don't know that. Could be today. But we know this. Jesus is the way to the future. And we don't have to worry about that. If we live right today, if we've taken care of the past, there's the past and the present, then we can look forward in hope to the future. In hope of eternal life, Titus 1:2. And we know that it's going to be just like God says. I get questions from time to time about heaven and eternity and how are we going to appear when we get there? I tell them the Bible says we'll be like Him. That's good enough. 1 John 3:1-2. My grandson was a little bit less than 2 years old. Came over to the house, spent the night, couldn't go to sleep. He and I got up about 10:30. I turned on cartoons. I said, we might as well watch cartoons. I was lying on the couch. He was sitting on my chest, watching the cartoons. He turned around and looked at me. He said, Daddy Bob, are you a Christian? I said, yes, sir, I am. Now, he's less than 2 years old. He said, well, I am too. And I said, well, that's good. I didn't think it was the time to talk theology with him. And he said, Anderson, that's his one-year-old brother. Anderson is too. So I began to tell him about his grandmother, Nanny. She's a Christian. Mom and Dad, they're Christians on the other side. Grandparents are Christians. And all these people that are involved in his life, they're Christians. We got to the great-grandfather. And I said, you know, he's a Christian too. And he said, well... He said, God wouldn't want that old rusty man in heaven. And I thought, rusty man? I said, God wants everybody in heaven. Well, he wouldn't want that old rusty man in heaven. And he thought for a minute, and he said, or that old rusty woman either. And he was talking about the fact they were old and wrinkled and time had its toll upon them. And I said, God wants everybody in heaven. God wants you in heaven, friend. Doesn't matter if you're rusty or not. If you're ready now to obey the gospel because you've reached that age where you understand, God wants you to be in heaven one day. Maybe you're in middle age and you have never done what you know is right. You're still going that wrong way. There's a way that is right and cannot be wrong. You need to be walking that way today. It may be that you've gotten to that point where you're rusty and you're not prepared. You're taking a chance every time you take a breath. Every time your heart beats, you're taking that gamble. It could be the last one. Jesus is the way to the future. But you know what? Jesus is the way to fulfillment. I wouldn't want to live life without purpose. I don't want to just go through life. I want to have fulfillment in life, and you do too. Ecclesiastes 12:13, this is the whole of man. This is all of it. This is what it's all about. Fear God, keep His commandments. God will take care of the rest of it. John 10:10, Jesus said He came that we might have life and have it what? More abundantly. That's the life I want to live. And you can live it too. Here's the way to do it. Matthew 6:33, you put your priorities in place. You put God first, everything else will fall into place. If you don't put God first, nothing's in the right place. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. Put that blank there and fill it in with what is honestly your reason for living today. What is it? For to me to live is pleasure, money. What is it? Jesus is the center of life for the one who's walking the right way. For to me to live is Christ. And then you can say to die is gain. I used to be afraid of death. I knew I wasn't ready for it. Since I obeyed the gospel, I've not feared death anymore. I'm not saying that I'm ready to leave this earth right now. I've got work I want to do, but I'm ready to leave this earth if I need to. And you can be as well. You see, if you walk down that path, that's the right way, you can look forward to where it goes. It leads to life ever after. Eternal, everlasting. Back to John 14:6. This is the way, Jesus said. I am the way. Are you following Him? You either are or you are not. If you are accountable, you know today whether you are or you are not. If you're not following Him, you've got a sad life now and a sadder life after this. But if you are following Him, rejoice in the blessings you know now, and that will be yours eternally. If I could make the choice for you, I would, friend. If I could be baptized for you, I would. I'd do it right now. But I can't do that. You've got those who love you, who pray for you every day, who pillow their heads at night with tears because they know you're not following Jesus Christ. And not only in this life, but God Himself looks down upon you and wants for you what is best. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He made possible salvation. That's why He's told you about the way that is right and cannot be wrong. The only way that is good, the only way that is holy, the one that leads to the way that is a blessing now and eternally. But notice what Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you ready today to hear the words of Christ and follow them? He says, believe in me, John 8:24, or you will die in your sins. He says, repent of all past sin, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Him, Matthew 10:32-33. Romans 10:9-10. Be buried with Him in baptism, Romans 6:3. And notice when you do, you contact the cleansing blood of Christ, and from that watery grave, you arise to walk in newness of life. That's the way you want to walk. You continue in that way faithfully, Revelation 2:10, and heaven will be yours after a while. What a wonderful blessing. What a great opportunity. What a loving Savior. What a way to live. Won't you come and start that way? If you started, but you have fallen to the side, you've taken a detour, you took the exit off of it and gone back into darkness, come back today. Come while we stand and while we sing.